reasonable worship. It's used in the anaphora. It's interesting because it's translated in the authorized version, King James, as reasonable worship. And in the RSV, are you looking up what kind of translations are there?
I was just looking up Romans 12:5.
Okay. In the RSV, it's translated as... I do know, but I want to see a come from a horse's mouth. That means the computer, because that is our God, which speaks to us. It's the oracle right now of the 21st century. So we turn to our oracle, which will reveal to us from on high.
So what verse are you looking at?
Is it 5? The Logikila Tria. Oh, I should just say it, shouldn't I? No, let's hear it from the oracle. Pull it down from the Wi-Fi. Here it comes.
Not quite.
Uh-oh.
That's what happens with an oracle, doesn't it? That means, yeah, you haven't made the right deal with it, huh? You have the right sacrifice.
Yeah, it's not in doubt.
No.
Okay. Just say
it. I will.
I see my problem is.
Okay. In the RSV, it's translated as spiritual.
Spiritual worship, and King James is reasonable service.
Yes, which is exactly what you see in if for a Slavophone, your slavesna služba sounds like reasonable service, whatever that means. And of course, the last words in the Greek are logiken latrian, and latria means worship, but there, and I'm so glad I have all these Greek and Latin scholars among us right now, because the usual word for worship, which we hear in Greek, is not that, but what's the usual worship that we think of, Patricia, when you think of the word worship in Greek?
Well, in Latin it would be cultus.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure what it is.
Thank you, John. Proskynesis. And that's the what does that mean, John?
Well, literally, it's to kiss towards, but it means it comes in to mean to bow down and make a prostration.
Yeah, that's the word when you hear like prijdite poklonimsya, come, let us worship. It really means that, like John said, the word latria as we're going to get into that. It has a more cultic sense to it in this case. Someone gave a great definition. Worshippers are people who subordinate their goals to God's goals by prioritizing service toward the kingdom of God. What a great definition, by the way, of monasticism, isn't it? Subordinating their goals to God's goals by prioritizing service toward the kingdom of God, and who express gratitude and praise towards God and tell others about God, His truths, and the love that they have enjoyed as His children. That's a great definition even of monasticism, wouldn't it be? Of the community, those of worshipers. And latria was the word used for cultic, the word ritos, the word that we have, the word rite in the Septuagint, in the Greek Old Testament. And it's in its New Testament usage, where it applies to us, it implies service or action. It means being totally caught up in the work of God. In other words, allowing the Holy Spirit to present you in Christ unto the Father, engaged, and here's where this living sacrifice comes in, engaged with your whole being, including your body. Work as worship. How did Benedict put that way? That was with prayer. Laborare, how did he say that?
Orare et laborare.
Okay, it's a little different, but But the same thing in this, there's something in common. Worship as work. Work as worship. And if it means adoration, it is worship as adoration in action. But more in action, okay, because at first I thought when I read that, I thought, gee, isn't the word proskynesis mean action? Yeah, but that's the easy action, isn't it? Like, it's easy to go like this. And it's, but does that really, really, that's not quite the same thing as the definition we gave. That I can do, and that's what was required, by the way. People were, you know, during the whole time of Roman persecutions of, well, if you just did that, like before the Roman deities, like, it didn't matter what you really thought, just do that, and everything will be all right. Well, that's easy to do, but to give our heart, our soul, and our bodies to something is a whole other degree of commitment. So much for latria, but what about the use of logikos? Reasonable isn't a perfect translation, I think, because again, that was then, this is now, but nowadays reasonable means something more than justified by reason. I've seen in liturgical books that sometimes even translated as rational worship, but it can take on an emotional or even rhetorical coloring to mean fair, equitable, understandable in its various senses, or even merely moderate. And Greek had a word for the equitable sense of reasonable, oikos, which Paul didn't use, so it's potentially a little bit misleading to render logikos simply as reasonable. And similarly, translating it, and boy, this is for today's vocabulary, translating it by spiritual. Wow, how many times do you hear that word? I mean, I live in Marin County, and I cannot count the thousands of times, right, that people have told me, like, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And I always want to ask them, and you know, by the way, you know, instinctively, when somebody says that to me, my response, which I bet you'd do it, John. I know. See, I admire. But I'm always too shy to say, but what about worship? You know, what about worship? Because somehow that's often missing in that equation. In what we would call, I guess, postmodern spirituality, that sense of worship. In other words, it's the belief in the existence of a higher power, which even I can somehow believe in the existence of, I can trust in, I can rely on, I can harvest, use, but I don't worship that in that sense. Not in the sense of, certainly not in the sense of proskynesis, because that's a word, I think, which is very foreign to our culture. As you know, as a rule, you know, Americans don't bow down to anything. Even when I was a kid, at least people would kind of do that to the flag or whatever, whether you take off your hat, put your hand over your heart, do that. But even that's very, very rare, isn't it, in our culture, for people to make any external sign of submission. It's a very, it's become very, very foreign.